From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome back to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Bob, it's great to be back here. A few weeks of interrupted shows, but we are back here for Bob After Dark, and I can't wait. We got a lot to get to. We got a lot to jump into, so why wait around?
Okay, so I think you and I have some explaining to do.
Okay.
We haven't seen each other in a few weeks.
Been a few weeks.
We haven't had an episode in a few weeks.
Been a few weeks.
So let's start with the explanation, then we'll get caught up on things.
Sure.
So, over the past few weeks, my life's been a, how do I describe this as a...
Now, don't forget, we're on radio. Be
we
careful.
Are on radio. It's been a mixed bag, per se.
Right,
so
good.
It's been really crazy, right? So the first week we were out, I had a surprise visit to New York City. I got a call from Sony Pictures, or I should say an email from Sony Pictures, being like, hey, guy, come out here for Ghostbusters Afterlife, the Red Carpet premiere. And, of course, I said yes because, well, I'm not going to miss out on an opportunity to be in
New York.
That's
a huge deal.
It is. It's a big deal. And I had a lot of fun. Got to see the actors, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to see all of them. It was a really good time.
And you got to watch the movie with them,
I did.
Too.
So I got to see it early with them, which was, it was a really cool experience to like, be like, I saw the movie with them.
Now, here's the thing, and I know we're going to talk a lot about here, but it'd be funny to see the reactions while watching the movie, I feel like. What parts are they laughing at? What parts are they
I was
reacting
in a separate
at?
Theater.
Okay, but that'd be...
But I was in the same building. They came and had a little speech before the movie started.
But I want to see what makes them laugh in that movie.
If I could find that out. But it was a...
Good movie?
It was good.
Okay.
It was almost like a spiritual experience. You know, you... as a paranormal investigator and stuff like that, you understand where Ghostbusters comes from. And it is a concept of... guys who do paranormal investigations, obviously it's a little bit more fantastical than what we do and, you know, what we do with our lives. But it's really kind of interesting to have my life go full circle from being like a kid that was really into Ghostbusters and now I do Bob After Dark full time. And we, it's just one of those things. It's kind of funny to see it go full circle.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Aykroyd, who I've been trying to get on the show for a while, unsuccessfully. Dan, if you're listening to this, answer my emails.
Try again. Say you enjoyed the movie and now it's time for you to come on Bob After Dark.
You know, him and I, the last time I was in LA and him and I sat down and had breakfast together. I'm not just saying that as a joke. Like, him and I actually sat down and had breakfast together. I was like, you know, hey, I'm doing this thing. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he called me out in front of a crowd of people. He's like, that's Bob from Bob After Dark.
That's nice.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But so I was in New York, right? And I was scheduled to come back on that Tuesday, but things got a little delayed due to weather. And it was just like, oh, we'll skip this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of came back to, we're just going to say some nonsense that I couldn't really control over the past couple of weeks with my... with my day job.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I didn't want to keep making excuses because we thought that everything would be okay. You know, I was like, okay, we take off just 2 weeks. We'll be fine coming back the next.
Sure.
Didn't pan out that way.
No.
And despite me still feeling not 100%, but feeling under the weather the past few nights, I still wanted to come here and we'll chat. If we can't make a full hour because of my voice, we're still going
to
try.
But it's just the voice. We should tell people it's not related to...
No. It's not what you think it is. It's not that plague.
You got to be careful with that.
In fact,
now.
No, but I did get my test for the plague and it came back negative.
Good.
So
all
we're
right.
good there. Mine's just, it's all voice strain.
People forget you could still get sick despite it not being
the certain
thing.
No, it's not the plague.
Yes.
I'm tired. I'm very tired, and we have some good news, though. Over this next year, we're going to be focusing on Bob After Dark. Why we'll be focusing on Bob After Dark more my full time. We're not going to get too much into it here because not going to be diving into it, but with the TV show pilot that's getting worked on and just the different advances, I was in a place in my life where we could focus on this. So my life's been a little hectic lately. Now we're going to get over this hump and we're going to be focusing on the show full time.
Can't burn yourself out, Bob. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. And for a little bit there, I mean, it would have been possible for me to get here. I would have probably been getting here closer to like 10 o'clock at night to record, and I would have been miserable because I had to get back up the next morning at 6. And it was just, and then Count and I were even trying to figure out timeline for us to come in here and just record a podcast. Timing didn't work out because the studio's used 7 days a week, just about. Yeah. Now it's college basketball season.
Got that too, yeah.
Yep, so it's just tough, but we're going to be doing more. And I do apologize. This is current Bob saying, I'm sorry we haven't been able to do anything in the past few weeks. It's not my intention to let the show kind of go on the back burner, and it's not my intention that we were where we were at.
Let's throw them all under the bus. Oh, no, we're not going to do any of that right now.
No, we're not throwing anything under the bus. I will tell you that, yes, New York was my fault. It's not even a fault thing. It's just, no. Hey, we're not doing the show.
But, you know, you got back that day of, so it's tough for you to prepare
exactly.
for a show when you probably were busy with Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's exactly. I got back, by the time me and the Queen of the Night got back to Chicago and back home comfortably, it was like 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I had to go to the day job the next morning. Yeah. And it was just... playing catch up over the past few weeks, I've literally think I just burnt myself out, and it's been a wild few weeks. My life has been a nonstop roller coaster, and it's nice to kind of be back into the swing of things. And we have like a list of things we need to talk about before we even get to the show. But before we did anything, I just wanted to apologize to everybody out there that was like, "Oh, where's the show been over a couple of weeks?" It's like, sorry, it's not my intention to put it, like I said, and it's not Count's intention either. If it was something Count could do on his own, I have the full
Count After Dark.
Yeah. I have the upteen faith in you that you could do the show on your own.
You'll cat episode.
Absolutely.
Nessie.
So that's it. That's just the thing. But the cool news is going forward over the next little bit here until what's next with the TV show deal. You're gonna be seeing a lot more Bob After Dark content. I'm gonna be a lot more active on the social media.
TikTok,
yes.
Well,
TikTok,
yeah.
And Twitch. We're gonna be starting up the Bob After Dark Twitch gaming channel, which is me gonna be playing some spooky video games. They exist.
I know there's a few out there.
There are there's a couple like paranormal investigation like multiplayer games.
Castlevania.
And, yeah, there you go. Or there's another one out right now called Folklore Wendigo Hunter.
Really?
Yeah, and you go around, like, so those are the things I would like to do.
Miss Pac-Man.
I guess Pac-Man is technically a paranormal
ghost.
Investigation.
Yes.
Game. Yes, there's the ghosts.
Well, that'd be exciting.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things we're going to be doing over the next, you know, month or so. But let's talk about appearances. Let's talk about what's going on. So if you're listening to this, we're going to get, as long as Count gets me the audio by Thursday, which we should.
You'll have it tomorrow.
The podcast version will be up before this happens. Count Panic and I will be at C2E2 all 3 days this upcoming weekend. That's December 10th, 11th, and 12th. We have an unofficial podcasters meetup on December 11th at the escalators. That's all I can really
there
say.
There you go, yeah.
If you know C2E2, you know where the escalators are. There's going to be several of the Memoriam Development podcasts there. Skip Freak of the Week. Ghostly Podcast will be there as well. We're going to be hanging out there. We do not have a panel, unfortunately, for C2E2, but Ghostly Podcast has one. They're going to be teaming up with Scott Larson, and they're going to be talking about Chicago ghost story stuff.
So you see us walking around.
Yeah, so if you see me and Count Panic walking around, we will have Bob After Dark merch available, like swag to give away. I shouldn't say merch. We'll have swag given away. Stop by, say hello, snag a picture with me and Count Panic, but we will be there all three
days.
We'll
be there walking around, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be up in my Ghostbuster garb for a little bit each day, but then I'll be in Bob After Dark mode after that.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
C2E2 is our big show of the year, and we're excited. We finally got press badges. It took us many years, but we were finally considered press in the eyes of Repo.
And we missed it last year, of course, due to everything going on. So it's a Christmas, kind of a Christmassy C2E2, right? Just a couple weeks away from the Christmas.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see. Will it be a Christmas theme Comic-Con?
Absolutely. Okay. It's going to be a good time, though.
All right. Yule Cat might be walking around.
Yule Cat might be walking around. Might be a purple cat, but it's definitely going to be a cat nonetheless.
No, for sure. Art of Krampus, but we won't
Speaking of Krampus, I made the appearance at the Milwaukee Krampus Knock this year.
And how'd that go?
I drank a lot of Bells and Chains. That's I think where primarily my my death warrant had came over at was just I got really excited. I got to indulge myself in some Bells and Chains beer. We didn't have a public thing this year because I didn't know if it was going to happen. It was back and forth whether it was or it wasn't going to happen. But the Milwaukee Krampus Knock happened. It was a good time. I spent a lot of it outside because the inside was just way too compact and way too crowded. They definitely drew the crowd this year for Krampus, and I was impressed with the numbers. We'll be back next year.
The Krampus, that's the thing, that everything's getting back into motion here, Bob.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so speaking of back in motion, we got our first booking for 2022. Our first booking for 2022. This one's our chronological first booking of 2022. I don't have any more information other than I got booked for MAGFest.
Oh, tell us. Do tell.
I don't have any information.
But what's celebrated at that?
MAGFest is a video game convention. Okay. It's probably the third biggest video game convention in the country.
Nice.
Which is a huge deal. I'm going to be there teaming up with Dark Fox from Pawstar. We're going to be out there talking about video game creepypastas. So spooky video game stories, like when we did our Sonic.exe episode here on the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about video gaming creepypastas. And I can't say how excited I am that I got booked for MAGFest, because it's that one's not like, you know, normal people can go and apply for panels. You have to be somebody in the media or somebody that's a content creation to get into it, because it's a big deal show. So I was very excited, and I got a great co-host in Scott that's going to be helping me out. So we're looking very forward.
Perfect.
To that.
Yeah.
That one's going to be in Maryland. So I get to see a brand new state too out of the deal, which I'm very excited.
What's Maryland known for, Bob? Let's think about this.
I'll let you know if I find any curds. I'll be like,
I feel like Wisconsin's got too many things they're known for. That's the problem. I mean, geez, cheese,
beer, curds,
fudge, all that stuff.
Of the Fonz?
The Fonzie?
I think we just missed Wisconsin too much.
Well, yeah, Fonzie. I mean, you can't forget Fonzie. You got to take a picture with the Fonz over there in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. Statue. So that'll be the first weekend of December. Or I'm sorry, first weekend of January. So January 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th is when that con goes on. I don't know when I'm booked. They're going to be setting up my time. I don't know what panel room I'm in. I don't think they're even panel rooms. It's an auditorium type deal. They may pre-have tickets booked out for those because, like I said, not everybody has them. As soon as I find out more information from the MAGFest staff, I will let you know. But it's a big deal. This will fit. Not saying anything about the other cons, because I've gotten booked at other cons that I love and I'm home to. But this is like the biggest scale convention I've ever gotten booked at. This is a big deal. So I'm really excited about that.
Details to follow.
Details to follow. What's been going on with you, man?
Bob, you know, as we switched out of the Halloween season, where the veil was at its thinnest, entering the holiday season here with so much going on as we get ready for all those great holidays that take place. You know, I'm in the spirit. I got a twinkle in my eye, Bob. I'm in tis the season to be a seasonal count here. So from light festivities going on this past weekend to parades to Christmas tree farms, you know, the count is getting in the spirit of things, Bob. How can you not get in the spirit of things? Now, Bob, I know you're a paranormal guy, and you love that season. Of course, it's all year round for you.
Right.
But what about you? I mean, you got to be getting a festive boot too.
I love Christmas.
You love Christmas.
People may think that all I do is do the what's the word I'm thinking of. All I ever do is Halloween and spooky stuff. I love the Christmas spirit. And little did you know that the Yuletide carols are actually a old throwback to a lot of spooky stuff, too.
Oh, really?
Christmas is a dual-sided coin. It's a happy, jolly Christmas. But once upon a time ago, Christmas was celebrated by sitting around and telling ghost stories.
Yeah.
And so it is still a spooky holiday, just decked out with tinsel and lights. Well,
look at the Christmas Carol, right? Yeah, three ghosts.
Four ghosts. You forget about Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley.
That was the one specific version of it where they had two Marleys.
The Muppets, yeah.
Muppets. But, you know, no, I love the Christmas season. I would say the spirit hasn't kicked me in the face yet. It's happening, though. I feel it.
You got a few weeks left.
I do. Well, I'll trust me. Give it like give it like 2 days when we're at C2E2 and I'll be like, ah, oh, Christmas, I'm in, I'm feeling it, you know.
Yeah.
That weather definitely turned this morning. I
You're
woke
right.
up, it was cold.
It was 1 degree, I think, yesterday. Here now it's a little warmer. It's only 20-something degrees right now, so much warmer than last night. But yeah, this kind of season, the winter weather, even though it's still technically fall, you feel that winter weather, you can't help but think, well, geez, Christmas is right around the corner here. So I'm gearing up for that, Bob. But it sounds like you've been busy. You got a lot planned for next year and ready to rock and roll.
I'm just happy to be back.
Happy to be back.
So if this is your first time ever listening or watching Bob After Dark, how the show works is we are weekly-ish. We're a weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and weird cryptid stories. And, of course, how does Count Panic take his hot chocolate?
Oh, man, with some marshmallows in there, Bob.
Whipped cream or no whipped cream?
Oof. Throw some in there, too.
Oh, look at you.
I mean, it's sometimes
Swiss
it's not
Miss?
Sometimes it's not available, though, Bob.
That's
but
fair.
When it is,
Swiss
take advantage
Miss or,
of it.
What's your hot chocolate?
Swiss Miss was always the go-to
that's,
growing
that's
up.
That's still,
yeah.
I think, my
yeah.
go-to.
Yeah. Got it. But here's the thing now. With the milk or water.
Come on, Bob. My mother made it growing up with water, and my dad finally came to me one day and said, "Let me show you what it tastes like with milk."
Got to have it with milk,
and that it's life changing.
Milk, go with the milk, and if you don't like a certain milk, you use other milk, and then enjoy it that way. But water and the hot cocoa—I always thought that was kind of a strange combination. Use the milk.
Use the milk. It changes your life, bro.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I do love me some hot chocolate, though. It's my my jam, if you will.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and we split the show up into a few parts. The first part, so we've been switching back on and off if we were doing this again or not, but we're going to go back to the basics this week, and that is the weird, spooky stories of the week.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is where you, the fans, send in news articles to me that are weird, strange, bizarre, have the occult in mainstream media, the paranormal, or weird advances that borderline on science fiction, the spooky news.
Spooky news.
The spooky news. And then we talk a little bit about the lore of the week, and then Count Panic toasts a review.
Yeah. Wait, do we have one today?
We do not.
Okay.
Yeah, well, listen,
I need a cup.
So hear me out. We haven't gotten a review. We've gotten ratings.
Oh.
So people are going on the Apple Podcast and rating us 5 stars, which is great. I'm excited to see that because our numbers have gone up dramatically.
There you go.
They're not saying who they are, though.
Does that factor into this?
It does, because how am I supposed to cheers them, man?
Okay. I need a cup if that's the case, though.
Well, so we don't have anybody to cheers.
All right. Well, we thank everybody for...
We do. Everybody that's gone on there. But, man, if you're leaving a review or if you're taking the time out to rate it, leave the review. That helps.
Yeah.
So I want to know who to thank.
I mean, we appreciate it.
But... I'm a big... trust me, there's no... There's no doubt about that.
No, believe your name, even if it's a fake name.
Yeah, you could just, other people have left their screen names.
Yeah, that works too.
And if you're listening live throughout the show, don't hesitate to call in 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100.
Operators are standing by.
Operators meaning you.
It's me.
You.
I am the operator.
You are the operator.
Sole operator.
So this
smooth
one actually,
operator.
Smooth operator. Yes. This one, actually, so our first story comes to us from 100.9 The Eagle, which is the Tri-State's classic rock station.
Oh.
I don't know where the Tri-State area is.
I've heard of that Eagle deal before. I think it's a very popular, trendy radio station.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You're just making that
no,
up?
No,
I feel like every part of the country has what they call the tri-state area. I mean, for us, it's Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois, since we can get to everything within an hour, we call ourselves the tri-state,
mm-hmm.
like the along the lakefront, right? But that's not this case. But this fan sent it. Her name's Nicole. Thank you, Nicole, for sending this in. And it's a fisherman claims he encountered a giant spider in Missouri.
Mm.
And we're not talking like... giant spider, like, you know, oh, it's as big as my hand. No, we're talking like monstrosity big, but I digress. This is written by, I believe, a DJ at the station named Doc Holliday.
Good name.
That's a great name. I first thought this was nothing more than a tall tale, but now I found numerous reports to collaborate a claim made by a fisherman. The encountered a giant spider in Missouri. Ew. When I saw a big spider, I'm not talking about a few inches in size. In this fisherman's tale, if it's to be believed, was the size of his head. And this is his story. Hey, Adam, I'm from Joplin, Missouri, and when I was a child, 7 or 8, I was running around the back of our woods, 150 acres, when I happened upon a tree with a large hole and a single web. Not many little ones together, but one giant web connecting three to the ground of the hole. I thought maybe an armadillo, when I poked my head around the thin tree branch, the dang spider came out and it was the size of my head, and I fell on my backside trying to run away. My mother didn't believe me, but I showed my cousins. These spiders are out there, guys. They really are. And these are comments, by the way, that are reading on this person. This fisherman reported this. They put it up on the YouTube, mm-hmm. and all of these people just kept chiming in and talking about it in this area. Another comment on the YouTube channel says, I've lived in rural Missouri my whole life. I believe it. We have tarantulas. We have mountain lions that people say aren't here. There's no telling what's out in the Ozarks. Wolf spiders are supposed to be one of the largest spiders commonly seen in Missouri, but they're only about an inch normally. The largest by far are the Texas brown tarantulas. They're a couple inches long and unfortunately relatively harmless to humans. The creatures mentioned in these stories are something else entirely. Is it an urban legend or a real fearful creature waiting in the woods and the rivers of Missouri? And I hope to never find out in person. But it was the YouTube video. It just talks about this fisherman who came across this... this spider, and he was saying that he saw it on the shores, and this thing was walking, and it was, you know, if it's big as my head, I got a pretty big head. So
that is eerie.
I would say so. You know, the one thing I'm afraid of in my entire life is spiders.
You don't like spiders, Bob?
I hate them.
You hate spiders?
Spiders scare me to no end.
Spiders are pretty creepy, I'll give you that. But, well, I guess you want to set it up for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Count, you want to tell me a little bit about your panic's take?
Yes, I'll do it right there, Bob. I was waiting for you to say those words before I went any further with it. But, Bob, you know, spiders, again, as you mentioned, very creepy. I didn't like them growing up. In fact, I didn't like really too many bugs growing up. But spiders, for sure. The more legs on a bug, the worse they are. And this spider, which sounds like a pretty gigantic spider, going to be terrifying to see in person, even seeing a normal spider. Is terrifying enough, but then to see a gigantic spider the size of your head, or possibly even bigger, even more so terrifying. And here's the thing about people and spiders. Some people say they would go through the whole process. They see a spider, maybe of a certain size in their house, to just kind of burn the house, maybe set a spider on fire and end up burning down her home. I think there was a case like that one time where somebody kind of set their house on fire trying to get rid of a spider. There was also a case, I think, too, where a spider was in somebody's car, and they crashed the car because they were trying to fight with a spider. Now, I won't take it to that level. If I see a spider in the car, I might pull over and try to get the spider. I won't crash the car in the process. But yet, it does still give you the heebie-jeebies when you see one of these things crawling around, no matter what the size. Now, I get it. If you see a spider, politely release them back into the wild. Maybe try not killing them. But geez, Bob, when they're just so gigantic, how can you not just go for the nearest shoe and try to attack it?
It's a great question. You know, I got to tell you a little confession of mine.
You crashed a car with a spider?
I don't like spiders.
You don't like spiders?
I don't. Dolls? Spiders.
Yeah.
I see a spider, I shriek.
Yeah. Shriek?
Shriek.
Wow, that's next level stuff, right? That's worse than a scream. That's a shriek.
I hate spiders, man.
Indiana. Well, luckily...
Listen, I have a theory. Indiana Jones doesn't like snakes. I don't have to like spiders.
Well, don't forget, luckily around here, around these Chicagoland
area... I don't want to hear it.
But they're not as bad as some of these other places. They have
apparently,
these
Missouri
spiders.
Is the hellscape of America where they got these head spiders.
So we don't have those around here, which is good. We just got regular spiders, which we'll take. But yet, now welcome.
Don't want them, period.
No,
I want spiders. Don't like them.
Some of these countries, you ever see some of these countries with the giant spiders on the walls?
Yes, Anthony used to tell us about the camel spiders all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't like them.
Horrible.
I don't like them.
Just move out.
I don't like them. I'm good. I just don't want to live on this planet anymore.
If it begins to become like a size of a dog or something, that's when you got to worry. But for now, we'll just take what we got here. But again, Bob, terrifying.
What is wrong with the water fountain water, by the way?
What's wrong with it?
It tastes like copper.
Oh, no.
Like, this is the worst taste
of
water.
Oh, Bob.
I ran real quick. Usually I go to the sink.
Yeah.
But I wanted to run and get back into the seat real quick.
Might be a recall, then.
We should. I would highly recommend nobody drink out of that water fountain.
We're gonna start a boiling order here. Then,
I would seriously let the maintenance staff know because that's not good. We'll just set this over.
If you go down during the show, Bob, I'll step in.
I only had a sip, but I can tell you that my mouth currently tastes like I ate AA batteries.
We gotta get you. I know you posted a status about your last water bottle, but I think we gotta work on getting
an update. Yeah, I know. We're figuring it out. Well, apparently, we have the cups under warranty, so we're figuring.
There
that
you
out
go, Bob.
So we gotta get the new cup fixed.
The plastic water bottle just doesn't suit you well.
It does not. I need my cup.
You need the chalice.
Cup, yes, yeah. We're kidding. And especially when the water.
Do you think though?
That's not good. That's not.
But here's the thing, Bob. Do you think because it's in that plastic water bottle, that's the case? Because when it was in your regular bottle,
I just drank regular water out of it, and it tasted just fine. Okay. I'm just letting you know. I can even edit this. I'm not gonna edit this out. I want the fans to know how well I'm treated. Like they need to shut it that water fountain.
You know what
down.
We need? A water cooler.
That would be great.
Because all the great discussions happen at the water cooler.
Is it in the budget?
To get a water cooler?
Yes.
I have to ask Purdue.
Can we find that out? Because that's you can't drink out of that.
No, we're going to condemn it. I'm going to put duct tape over
it. You should put a
right
sign
now.
Up. As soon as the show's over, put a sign. Yeah, no, that's not good.
All right.
I'm dying here. Fans, you hear that?
Oh,
I don't.
Was it OSHA?
I don't have. The water here is bad.
We'll get it checked out.
All right, let's move on to the next story then. This one comes to me. For me, I found this one actually. This one's from a site called Oddity Central. Sometimes I get our stories from them. It's an interesting site. But anyway, so this one's titled Tech Company Will Pay You $200,000 to Use Your Face and Voice on Its Robots.
Okay, great.
Russian robotics company Promobot recently announced plans to buy the rights to use someone's face and voice on its robots forever for the price of $200,000. Known for producing hyper-realistic human-like robots, Promobot is currently developing a humanoid robot assistant which will work with hotels, shopping malls, and other crowded places. And it is a market for a kind and friendly face to use on it. To that end, Russia's startup has announced that it is ready to pay $200,000 American money to anybody willing to transfer the rights of their face to Promobot forever. The company clarified that it will accept applications from people of all races and genders, with the age 25 and over being the only requirement mentioned. Our company is developing technologies in the field of facial recognition as well as speech, autonomous navigation, artificial intelligence, and other area of robotics, a recent Promobot press release reads. Since 2019, we have actively manufacturing and supplying humanoid robots to the market. Our new clients want to launch a large-scale project, and as for this, they need to license a new robot appearance to avoid legal delays. Interestingly, Promobot found itself in legal trouble a while back when it got sued by Arnold Schwarzenegger for $10 million for using his appearance on robots without asking for his permission. They're hoping to make sure that doesn't happen again by paying a much smaller sum up front. After faces selected by Promobot and its clients, the winning applicant will need to have a 3D model of their face taken to be used for the robot's external features. But the contract also gives the company rights to the person's voice, so the winner will also have to dictate at least 100 hours of speech material to create the robot's voice. Licensing your face and voice to robots company for an unlimited period of time is a scary proposition for many people, but there are plenty who wouldn't think twice about the dotted line for $200,000. Promobot stopped taking applications this past Monday after being inundated with offers. Today, when they wrote this, which was like 2 days ago, today we have received over 20,000 applications, and our client has decided to spend the request collection. We want to say thank you to all of our participants, the Russian company said on a website. Hashtag panic stick.
Bob, you talk about spiders being terrifying, but, I mean, this might be some next level stuff here, Bob. How would you feel if your voice and your likeness was on a robot? We talk about the uprising of robots that's bound to happen here soon enough. You could be looking at yourself, fighting your robot self, if some kind of weird...
I don't like it.
I don't like it either, Bob. Like it. I'm not a fan of this.
Do you know what I do like, though?
What?
$200,000.
Well, how much is that your price?
It's a good price.
Everybody has their price.
$1 million man.
Yeah, he was talking about this, I think.
You know, I talk about things that frighten me the most in my life, and I have the three, which is dolls, spiders, and the concept of artificial intelligence. The idea that something like that will overthrow. You know, you watch something like The Matrix or Terminator or I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, Blade Runner, etc., right? Those concepts will keep me up at night because it is a terrifying thought that something like that would exist, especially on the something like I Have No Mouth But Yet I Must Scream type of deal where the robot's even controlling our genetic makeup and, you know, surpassing our lives, etc., to keep us in zoos. It's a scary thought, man.
It is. It's a terrifying thought.
It is absolutely horrifying. We're at the point now where they're going to need to start doing 3D models. And for $200,000, that's not terrible, but I don't know if I need a robot Bob going around oh-haying there, you know?
You want the Bob-bot taking over. That's the thing. But it's one of these things we talk about robots from time to time. Yeah. Is this really something that's needed, Bob? I feel like this is just a horrifying sci-fi movie gone wrong. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen, man. Yeah. I'm not a fan. It sounds like we have our first caller. Why don't you just take it live?
You want to do it live?
Let's take it live.
We'll do it live.
I'm feeling it's John, but oh hey there, caller, you're on the air.
Well, hey there, Bob.
John, my psychic senses were tingling. I guess the right person.
Yeah. Hey, I missed you.
John, I missed you too. I missed the show. I missed everybody. It's nice to be back.
Well, tell me, how did things go in New York? How was it for you and the Queen of the Night?
Oh, we had a good time. We had some good, we had 99-cent pizza, which turned out, trust me, it was wonderful. I had me a bagel the two mornings I was there. I had a bagel with cheese and egg, which was really, really good. We had a good time.
You know what? That was my main question. What was Bob's cuisine while you were over there? You just answered that.
99-cent pizza and pick a bagel.
So how was the life of New York? Comparable to Chicago?
New York is a nonstop adventure. Chicago will quiet down at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. New York doesn't stop moving.
City that never sleeps, they say,
never
right?
does. You were absolutely correct. New York is a... New York had my heart once upon a time ago. I was supposed to move there, but things happened and I didn't. Now I've been here ever since. But it's New York's definitely an interesting place.
Well, that's good. It's good to get away. It's good to come back. And I'm just calling to see, you know, being a little nosy how things went there for you and just welcoming you back to the show. That's all.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that, John.
All right, Bob. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for the call.
Yep, you got it.
That's
now,
nice.
Now, here's the thing, Bob.
Do we have you said you caller?
Had no. Oh, okay. You said you had 99-cent pizza.
Yeah, 99-cent pizza.
It was New York pizza.
It's New York pizza.
Obviously, cheese pizza.
Yeah, 99 cents a slice.
The debate, Bob: New York versus Chicago style pizza.
No, that's not even a debate. Where am I from?
Chicago.
Yes.
All right. Some people from here prefer New York style pizza,
and those people should be shipped over there.
Although 99 cents, you can't beat a pizza for 99 cents.
Listen. Some people tell you, you know, there's whatever New York spot in the towns for pizza. You want real New York experience pizza, stumble out of a bar at 3 a.m. drunk, and you'll have the Three Brothers Pizza right there waiting for you for 99 cents.
And they
a
make
slice.
A killing, I'm sure.
They have lines out the door, yeah. Bro, because that's it. You know, you have your real people that go in there for pizza that live and work there, and they just want a slice. You get two slices and a can of soda for like $3.
Wow. That's like the 80s.
I was going to say, it's busy, a constant flow of people. Cash only, but, you know, constant flow of people.
Can't beat that. Just have a few dollars, you're good.
All night, that's exactly it. For $5, you can get a full meal. That's what I did.
Perfect.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, we'll have to go there just for that.
I can't recommend New York enough. Okay. Most beautiful city in the world.
Oh, city that never sleeps.
Never sleeps.
The Windy City.
No, that's the Big Apple.
The Big
Windy,
Easy.
Windy City, that's New Orleans. The Big Apple.
The city on the rise.
What's that one?
I don't know. I think
you're
that's
just
something.
Making up names now. The city of cheese. That's Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's Milwaukee.
We're gonna do one more.
Sure.
We're gonna do one more news story here, and then we're gonna take a quick little break.
All right.
So, expert, and this one's once again come from Oddity Central. Experts are baffled by a goose that allegedly lays black yolk eggs.
Really.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's a strange one. I'm baffled myself.
Here. I'm ready to hear it.
And, you know, I'm an acclaimed scientist myself. Photos and videos of eggs with yellow or black-yellow yolks have been reportedly laid by a gray goose that have been doing the rounds on social media and leaving experts scratching their heads. The intriguing photos and videos of the black eggs were spotted by, and I'm going to butcher these names, but I apologize, Sina Weibo, last week by a man surnamed Zhu from Hangzhou City, China's Shijing Province. Sorry, folks, not from China. Doing my best here. He claimed that the eggs came from a friend of his who may have kept the gray geese on his farm who had gifted him batches of normal goose eggs before. Only this time, the ordinary eggs were the standard size, but the color turned out to be somewhat of an oddity. When he cracked the yolks, or the cracked the eggs, revealed a clear white egg, but a dark gray, almost black yolk instead of the normal orange hue. And this is when they got pictures up here on the website. I'll share them on the Children of the Night page. They're legitimately black yolked eggs. Mm. In a video that has since gone viral, Zhu explained that the eggs have been laid by the same goose and that, except for the yolk color, they smell and look like ordinary goose eggs. Apparently, neither he nor the owner had any idea why the yolk was this bizarre color. After the photos and videos of the black yolk started spreading on Chinese social media, people start coming up with their own theories, just some humorous in nature and others legitimate attempts to solving the mystery. Comments like this goose who must have ingested some ink and it must have had a very darkest heart were among some of the creepier suggestions. Someone suggested that the goose must have eaten a lot of black mulberries, which are high in melanin content. Zhu then confirmed that there were indeed many mulberry trees planted in the back of the farm where the geese were raised, but he was skeptical about this possible explanation. These geese are all raised freely. When mulberries fall to the ground, they run and eat them. They contain melanin, so it's possible that eating too much of the mulberry would be the explanation, but it's not particularly reasonable, so I'm not sure. In short, it's just quite strange, the owner of the goose wrote. A poultry expert asked by a Chinese news outlet to provide with a potential reason for the black yolk said that only thing he could think of was an environmental pollution, adding that scientifically speaking, such a phenomenon should not occur. Mm-hmm. According to the China's Academy for Agricultural Sciences, have expressed interest in studying the black yolks, but at the time of the writing, the mystery still has not been solved. Last year, there was some stories about an Indian farm where the chickens were laying eggs with big green yolks. I'm gonna be right back. Count. I never take a break. I gotta take one real quick. Right. You go on ahead. Take the cash bag panic steak for a little bit, would you?
All right. I will. Bob's gonna have some more of that water that he hates so much. There might be water actually in the canister, Bob, if you would check that out over there. But yeah, the whole thing with these the egg situation. Very eerie as well. Again, with all these spooky news stories, they had the common thing kind of giving me the heebie-jeebies. I can use that term once again. But with that, it's a mystery element, that one, because spiders, you know what you're getting with spiders. You see a gigantic spider, it's terrifying. You see a robot, it's terrifying. You see a robot with your face and likeness as well as your voice, that's even extra terrifying. But for something like this, even though it is spooky, it's more so mysterious. There's a mystery that needs to be kind of cracked here, no pun intended with the egg story here, but there's a mystery going down with that. How come these eggs are turning a certain way, and how come these eggs look like this? It makes you really you think about everything, and no matter what color they are. And I know people kind of get freaked out about some of these gigantic not to say gigantic, well, yeah, they were in a way gigantic birds as well. I mean, you have the gigantic spiders. But there's this video online, circulating online, of this giant chicken. And it makes you wonder, what kind of eggs is this giant chicken laying? The giant chicken actually looks like somebody dressed up in a giant chicken costume, but it's an actual chicken. And for that, it's kind of spooky as well. But here's the thing with the whole debate about the eggs. Again, very mysterious, very eerie. I can't really put an answer to it myself. When Bob was discussing it there, I was thinking about it, trying to figure out as far as what could be said about these eggs. But again, I just don't have an answer for it. I don't know anything about it. I don't have an answer for it. And I really can't say too much beyond that. But for the other two stories as well, just terrifying stuff. So here's what we're going to do. Got the word out to Bob. We're going to take a break here. I know we take a break from time to time. It's usually a short break, and this will be a short break as well. But we'll take a break, come back with more Bob After Dark right after this, the voice and face of the region, WJOB. And if you're listening on a Jed TV as well, which you could always do so, that's JedTV.com for your Amazon, Roku, Apple TV, and your Jed TV app. In the meantime, stick around. Be right back on the voice and face of the region, WJOB.
Contractor Steel Company, a local steel distributor established in 1960, is now hiring in their sales department, a great career opportunity for local university graduates. Additionally, we are recruiting truck drivers, material handlers, crane operators, and machine operators, which are all represented by the local Teamsters Union. Please visit ContractorSteel.com to apply for a rewarding career in the metals industry with a competitive benefits package, paid training, and a strong culture. There are opportunities for wage growth and career advancement. Once again, visit ContractorSteel.com to apply.
Northwest Indiana ER and Hospital is thrilled to bring full-service, concierge-level emergency care to the region. Our mission to provide the best patient experience is achieved by way of immediate...
Hello again, everybody. This is Matt Maloney of the Matt Maloney Real Estate Group, powered by Keller Williams of Northwest Indiana. The region is a beautiful place to live, and I've soared to new heights to market your listing to the best and widest possible audience. Call me today at 219-301-0477 or visit MattMaloneyRealtor.com and let's get started. It's Matt Maloney. I'm Matt Maloney.
Morris Theory, let's turn it up.
Welcome to the best hour of your day. It is time to get this party started.
All right, on three, let's go.
It's time to get into that orange zone. Push P.
Finish strong.
It's easy to feel a sense of gratitude here in Indiana because there is a whole lot to be grateful for. Family and friends and enough calmness around you to really appreciate the simple things. I really just try to show gratitude by doing my part, working hard, being friendly and kind. I feel really lucky to live here.
The values that built Indiana are here in Strachan Van Til. We're Indiana's grocery store, and we're proud to be Indiana made.
Bigger and better than ever, ship your mama down the road at the Gift Food and Craft Marketplace. Brought to you by Ship Shawana on the Road. Order County Expo and Fairgrounds, Valparaiso, December 11th and 12th. Spend the day tempting your taste buds, discovering unique gift ideas, and exploring hundreds of booths and thousands of products. Get here early because we pay the first 200 people to shop with Shipsy Bucks. Brought to you by
Ship Shawana on the Road.
Fresh baked bread, scrumptious soft pretzels, chocolates, homemade cookies, jewelry, crafts, handbags, home decor, yard decorations, vintage items, furniture, pet supplies, sports stuff, signs, man cave supplies, clothing and fashion, and more. Porter County Expo and Fairgrounds, Valparaiso, December 11th and 12th. Saturday 9 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5. Free parking. Admission only $5 per adult. Children under 12 free. Come and support local small businesses. It's the Gift Food and Craft Show brought to you by Ship Shawana on the Road. For a dollar off coupon, go to shipshawanaontheroad.com. Also visit us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah! Looking for a career with stability, high wages, a pension, and the best benefits in the industry? Look no further than the Carpenters Union Local 599. We've been building our careers and communities for over 117 years. We believe in training, professionalism, and partnership. Better training, better pay, better benefits. We are the Carpenters Union. Call us at 219-942-0518 or visit ikorcc.com to start building your future.
The new Glen Avenue Bridge is now open to save you time and take you to the moments that matter faster. As the gateway of Lake County, Indiana, it's your shortcut between Chicago and Northwest Indiana, potentially saving you half an hour and over 10 miles versus the Borman Expressway. Use it to get home faster, take the stress out of your commute, and access area industries and attractions. Try it today and see why the Glen Avenue Bridge is the shortcut you've been waiting for.
Shine.
All right.
WJOB's Jim Deedlow starts your weekdays at 6 a.m.
Jed in the region. And be sure to follow us on Facebook. WJOB, AM 1230 and 104.7 FM.
Who's ready for a Polish? Stop by Big Frank Sausage at our bigger, better location here in Roxana, East Chicago, 918 Carroll Street. Try our new expanded menu. We now have craft beers, Zhivets, Okochum, family dining, and catering available. Check out our Facebook page for our upcoming events and live entertainment. Come sit in our lengthy bar and enjoy all of our favorite sporting events. Big Frank Sausage, as seen on Chicago's Best. Great food, great sports, great entertainment. Smacznego I na zdrowie.
Wow, Big Frank's Sausage right there in Roxana, Chicago. Can't, you got to come back in on that one, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Count. Sorry to run off on you there. It was the water got me.
Are you? Was it the fact that there was no water, or the fact that you didn't like the water from the current water that
it
you had?
It was something. I've never taken a break in the middle of the show before. That's new.
Well, you wanted to take a break anyway, so here we are.
That was why I was saying I knew it was. I knew I had to, but it was just slapping the hip. But yeah, no. Big goose egg, that was definitely a strange thing for me.
All right, well, there you go. Are you back? Are we good?
We're good.
All right, if you go down again, I'm ready, though. Don't worry.
I appreciate that. Don't panic. No, we should be okay, though. We're going to get through this. So, Count, how are you?
Good, good. I gave my opinions on the terrifying egg story. Do you ever see that giant chicken video where the giant chicken's walking around, looks like a person in a costume?
No, was it a giant? Was it a person?
It's a giant chicken. They have giant chickens out there.
Well, that's
kind of reminded me about these weird eggs, but people heard me ramble about that before the break. So
that's great.
Good to be back.
Speaking of, this is a post-editor's note. I'm going to be able to edit that break out, right?
You could take it out.
Well, I can before the podcast version.
You could, yeah.
Excellent. That's good to know. Just make it.
You just need to take it out.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, let's dive right in. So when you're in New York City, you get to experience a lot of fun things. 99 cent pizza, cheese on the egg and cheese on a bagel in the morning with some fresh squeezed orange juice, which surprisingly didn't have that much pulp in it.
Huh. Which is a good thing.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. The trash on the streets is a bit much. Sometimes you got to deal with rats, but for whatever reason, it's just the essence of New York always makes me feel like I'm home.
There you go.
That's why we're talking about a New York location this week.
What are we looking at?
So, have you ever been in New York?
Can't say I have, Bob.
Oh, well, it's lovely.
Been to Chicago?
Yeah, of course. It's right there.
You've seen one city.
It's like 7 minutes away.
You see one city, you see them all, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, this is New York.
New York, yes.
It's different.
Some say it's the best city in the world.
I would get really close to agreeing with you there.
Yeah.
But anyway. So New York has a lot of a lot of paranormal sites, if you will, but one of which is probably one of the most infamous haunted locations in the world.
Really?
Yes, or at least supposedly haunted. I teased this picture a couple weeks ago when we were talking about doing this episode, and we had a lot of interesting feedback from the ghostly picture that was supposedly shared. Now, this ghostly picture was taken at the location we're talking about, which was the Hotel Chelsea or the Chelsea Hotel in New York City. There's a famous picture of a woman at the hotel who happens to be not fully clothed, but it's an interesting picture nonetheless. It's not like an art project. Apparently it might be a hoax, but as far as ghostly photography goes, it's definitely an image and it's definitely something to think about. Are you still there?
I'm checking to see this photo right now because I remember you posting it.
So it's been a couple weeks, but it's there. But let's read in this. I'm quoting directly from Nancy Snyder from Book Riot.
Mm-hmm.
The Chelsea Hotel, currently closed to renovations, sits at 222 West 23rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues. And I've seen the building before. It is gorgeous. That's me just talking. It's a beautiful red brick building built with a mixture of Victorian Gothic and Queen Anne style. There are wrought iron balconies and the grand staircase located right in the middle of the hotel. This is the Chelsea Hotel, or a cauldron of creativity, a place that every artist around the world knew about and that set out for. The Chelsea Hotel roster of residents and transcendents, transient being the Chelsea Hotel reference for repeat visitors, includes, but not limited to, Mark Twain and actress Sarah Bernhardt, political radical Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, Thomas Wolfe and Dylan Thomas, Bob Dylan, Patti Smith, The Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin,
wow.
Leonard Cohen, And this is where Cohen immortalized his meeting with Janis Joplin in his song, Chelsea Hotel No. 2. Composer Virgil Thompson and Lou Reed. Andy Warhol filmed here, and Madonna photographed her book Sex at the Chelsea here.
It's a who's who, Bob.
It is. A lot of famous artists have stayed here. This is where they would meet and chat and do their thing.
Yeah.
And that is just part of the list of the Chelsea Hotel luminaries. And the last, it's the last outpost of Bohemia. Even the Chelsea Hotel's somewhat shabby appearance was artistic. I love the building, and I love the Chelsea Hotel and history, everything that is the, well, Chelsea Hotel. However, the most repeated question regarding the Chelsea Hotel is a variation of what drew so many artists and radicals there. The question blends quite easily with the very next frequently asked question of, why does it look like it has so many ghosts? The Chelsea Hotel is a national and state landmark building and the second most haunted place in New York City, the first most haunted place being the New York Public Library on 42nd. From 1995 from 2010, when the Chelsea Hotel's door closed, the people there said they never encountered any ghosts. Perhaps the spectral spirits just decided not to bother anybody. The writer of this article did stay in room 124 for 5 nights, 6 days in a room that was reportedly to be haunted. And one day when they came back in an afternoon, the water fountain was, a water faucet was on, but they attributed the cause to bad plumbing and continued to be having a good day.
Well, I guess with anything, you just blame the plumbing. If you think something's haunted and you don't want to tell people it's haunted, say it's the plumbing.
It's the plumbing.
Yeah.
Now, there is a famous episode. Have you ever seen Celebrity Ghost Stories or Celebrity Ghost Stories?
I have seen some of those episodes.
They're actually really fascinating. Yeah. There's a lot of great stories on there of celebrity, like, you know, well-known celebrities, B-list too. But everybody, you know, celebrity-wise that have had interesting ghost stories. And there is an episode about the Hotel Chelsea starring actor Michael Imperioli.
Oh, from The Sopranos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one and said that he was struck by complete terror and still remained terrified after his ghostly encounter at the Chelsea. And there's a blog that was very, very active up till about 2016 called Living with Legends, the Chelsea Hotel blog. I reached out to them for an interview and didn't hear back. But they talk about this particular actor from The Sopranos who encountered a very famous person who stayed at the hotel, and that is Mary. Her name's Mary. She is the one of the Titanic survivors and a well-known ghost that haunts the fifth floor. According to reports from several mediums and paranormal sleuths, the Chelsea Hotel housed survivors from the 1912 sinking of the Titanic. Mary was one of the survivors. She lost her husband when he sank with the boat. Mary became distraught, depressed, and was never able to adjust to life after the Titanic. And unfortunately, this is a trigger warning, she hung herself in a room on the fifth floor. Mary is most often at the west end of the building where the archway is that the hallway where the original large apartment's entryway would have been. Mary is checking herself in the mirror, and she is never referred to as a vain ghost. One thing to remember, Mary does not like to be bothered by the living, so if you do see her, do not expect any welcoming words or gestures. Mary perceives the living as an annoyance. Little wonder that she gave Michaels a sign that he would not be wanted in her ghostly space. There is another spirit that is said to haunt the Chelsea Hotel, and that is the spirit of Nadia, the severed hand ghost. 10 years after Mary made her fate in 1922, the New York Times reported on a young woman in her 20s who flung herself out the window facing 23rd Street and meeting her death on the sidewalk. Before her fatal plunge, Nadia had placed her right hand in the middle of a huge industrial scissors that were used to cut large bolts of cloth and closed the scissors tight and cut off her right hand. The pain was more than she expected and therefore just threw herself out the window. But Nadia's self-hand removal was understandable. Nadia had grown up in the Chelsea Hotel, the spoiled daughter of a wealthy silk merchant whose family lived on a posh suite of the rooms in the Hotel Chelsea. Nadia was an artist, but her plans to pursue artistic vision was cut short when she met a handsome and rogue dandy songwriter and was ran away to get married when both were still in their teens. Within a few years, Nadia's handsome husband had slipped into alcoholism. She had two children and her husband to contend with. Nadia returned to the Chelsea Hotel and pleaded with her wealthy father to return to the return back to the hotel. They had nowhere else to go, and her husband was no use at all. Nadia's father, still enraged that Nadia had left his household to marry a drunken songwriter and then immediately had two children without any means of supporting them, relented. He let Nadia and the family return back to the Chelsea Hotel, but there was one condition. Nadia was responsible for all the housework, cleaning, and bringing in piecework sewing to add to the household income, and also had to hand wash her mother's under things, a constant activity since Nadia's mother was pretty sick. Life became too much to bear for Nadia, and she tried to carve out a few minutes for her art, but it was impossible. Nadia's hands were becoming ruined from the never-ending housework. Hence, on a moonless night, Nadia cut off her right hand and left it for a tragic existence. It was on this moonless night that Nadia can be seen flitting outside the windows of the upper floors of the Chelsea Hotel, her long hair and wispy white gown flowing behind her. She wants to come back to the Chelsea Hotel, but she cannot find her way back in the hotel. This is a rare occurrence when you can actually spot the spirit supposedly floating outside the hotel barrier, but not getting inside the hotel itself. As for our more recent ghost with no timeline available regarding his admission to the Chelsea Hotel, is Larry the Hipster Ghost.
Tell me about Larry the Hipster Ghost.
According to verified reports from a medium who relayed her findings in Living with Legends, the Chelsea Hotel blog, Larry the Hipster is a distinctive because he never stops talking. Larry is so anxious to tell his story that, much to the annoyance of his fellow ghosts, Larry pretty much pushes himself in front of everyone's ghostly gatherings at the Hotel Chelsea to share his wisdom. So if you show up there and do an EVP session, you might hear some bickering, and then Larry just charges forward to tell his story.
Yeah. That seems like a fun, loving one. I wouldn't mind running into Larry the Hipster Ghost.
That's the one spirit I wouldn't mind.
Doesn't seem bad. Doesn't seem terrifying at all. It's kind of fun.
When spirits are aware that an alive person can or see them, it is then that the ghosts become storytellers. Larry the Hipster Ghost never gives any other ghost a chance to share their story. But Larry the Hipster Ghost has a critical message to relay. According to Larry the Hipster Ghost, everything inside the Chelsea Hotel is real. Walk outside the hotel doors and you enter into an illusion. Also, Larry tells us that there is indeed something underground at the hotel long, long before the Chelsea Hotel was built. And there is some sort of power that is a genesis to the Chelsea Hotel's creative power. And lastly, Larry has an important message. How one conducts themselves at the Chelsea Hotel is what important, not just art, but how one lives their life at the Chelsea Hotel.
There you go.
Now the question remains, will these ghosts at the Chelsea Hotel remain open until the hotel is reopened again? Some believe so, some believe not.
Hmm.
Interesting stuff, huh?
I mean, they kind of just lingering around, though. Here's a good question, Bob. Do ghosts come out when people aren't around?
Yeah. I mean, there's stories of people leaving, like, voice recorders in empty rooms, and you walk away and do an EVP session overnight, and you just try to pick up on the weird stuff that's heard when nobody's around.
Yeah.
You gotta think, if there's nobody to entertain, the spirit's just gonna come out and be like, what are we gonna do, right?
Yeah, you never know.
You know, as we were saying before, as far as the hotel itself, and guys, pardon my voice, I have no water.
You're doing great, Bob.
According to the NY Ghost blog, the halls of the hotel these days are now just covered with dust. The many paintings that were once on the walls have been put away in storage, and the now abandoned apartments are now padlocked and washed out. The hotel had closed its doors in 2011, and this was the first time it had closed in 106 years. There are few remaining residents. They roam the halls as well, as you can take a guess, a ghost. and the ghosts have watched workers haul out many antiques such as molding and stained glass, and they have also removed entire walls since the place has gone through renovation. The pipes in the building have burst because they were so old. Even during renovations, the pipes were bursting. This caused many of the apartments to flood and that the building was in a complete part of disrepair. They are working to restore it to its original condition to the best of their ability. However, many of the residents believe that they are forced out and that the hotel is over. So a little bit of what's going on at the Chelsea Hotel now.
Well, again, Larry wouldn't be a bad ghost to run into there, Bob.
I'll teach you guys a little bit about the history of this place, too. Yeah. Although the hotel is not in pristine condition today, it holds many stories. The hotel was conceived to be a utopian for socialists. The architect that built the hotel was by the name of Philip Hubert. He was raised to be a devoted following of Charles Fourier's theories. Charles was a French philosopher. It was Charles who thought that there should be self-contained settlements, and these settlements should be met with the needs of everyone. Everyone who is in a profession should all be within, all should be the personal needs of what they should want. The stock market had crashed in 1973, and it was at the time that Philbert Hubert decided that he would do an experiment. He planned to build an apartment houses in the city, and these apartments would be cooperative. This meant that the tenants of the apartment would be saving money by sharing services and fuel. This was the first co-op housing in New York, and it turned out to be successful. And the Chelsea had been open since 1884. So they were trying to do this cooperative living thing at the Chelsea Hotel, and they moved the idea out of the Chelsea into the city as well. Hence why we were talking a little bit about the artistic way of everybody kind of gathering up and doing their thing there.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of makes sense, Bob. But again, I still question somebody's, well, I guess if you're going to be a ghost, a hotel would be a pretty good place to linger around, as opposed to an old jail cell or kind of just abandoned warehouse. You could do worse than haunting a hotel if you're a ghost. And these are probably, you know, some maybe heavy hitter celebrity ghosts maybe that possibly linger there as well. You've seen all those people come through the doors in the past. So you never know what you're going to get at this hotel, it sounds like, in terms of ghost. Hopefully, it's the hipster ghost.
Is that who you want?
I think out of all the ghosts, even not just today that you mentioned, but just in the past episodes of Bob After Dark as well, this ghost, this hipster ghost, seems like maybe the friendliest entity that you brought up in the past since the past episodes. That's just me, though. You could be your own judge on that. Just to me, he seems like a much more happier ghost.
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, that's
just out of all the ghosts in the world, you want to go and try to talk to. You want to talk to Larry the hipster.
Yeah, Larry the hipster.
That's great.
That's the one I'm going with.
So there is another story out of the Chelsea Hotel, but I'm not a true crime podcast, so it's kind of hard to talk about it. But if you're familiar with punk rock at all, the Sid and Nancy story and the tragic ending to the Sid and Nancy saga, I'll just say it ended at the Chelsea Hotel.
Yeah.
As well, if you're familiar with the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it happened.
Yes. Yeah. And apparently the ghostly photo of the nude female, some speculate that might be Nancy herself.
Nancy herself? Nancy that herself. Photo that you posted there?
Yes. Some say that might be her. Some,
could be anything.
Could be anything. But it is a photo of a nude woman getting out of a bed. And it is a very, it's not like, I'm not saying it is like an adultery photo. You know, you look at it and that's not the vibe you get from the photo. It's not like a piece of that kind of photography. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know it's an artistic photo. It's kind of an artistic photo of its own, right? But sometimes you can take these ghost photos and it just doesn't seem you can't really tell what it is. It could be just a piece of dust. This photo actually looks like somebody. And how can you say that's fake? You can't say it's fake, Bob.
Yeah.
Looks real.
There's a lot of different ghostly photos from the Hotel Chelsea that's been documented well in many, many, many years since the hotel's opening. I mean, there's been a lot of tragedy. We talk a little bit about the hotel in L.A. I mean, Ghostly Podcast did that episode a while ago where we talked about the strange case of Lisa Lam and her disappearance at the hotel in L.A., and this hotel had the same regard for its legacy that was around for the years that it was. There was a lot of negative energy outside of the concept of Mary and Nadia ending their lives as well. there was an author there, Arthur Charles R. Jackson, who wrote The Lost Week and committed suicide in his room in 1968. And Charles James, often referred to as America's first courtier, died in his room in 1978 after living there for 14 years. And another death that has been taking place in the room, in the building, was in 1978 in room 100. Former musician of the Sex Pistols, Sid Vicious, and his girlfriend Nancy Spungen were living at the hotel after Sid's career took a plunge after a big drug binge. I'll just tell the story. Might as well tell it, right?
Tell the story.
After a drug binge, Nancy was found stabbed to death on October 12, 1978. Sid had no idea if he did it or if someone broke in and killed Nancy. Before he could stand trial, Sid overdosed on heroin and an injection some believe his mother gave him because he said he couldn't stand to go back to jail.
Oh, well, there you go. There you have it right there.
Yeah. It's a tragic. Oh. The Sid and Nancy story is a tragic one. If you're into the true crime thing, that's a well-documented case, and it's very fascinating the way they do it. But, you know, some say that Sid and Nancy's ghosts still reside at the Hotel Chelsea in room 100 to this day.
Yeah, and the thing with that story as well, it seems like it's weird that it's carrying on in the afterlife.
Yeah.
If that photo is who they think it is.
And over the last century, the Hotel Chelsea has seen a share of both all drugs, alcohol, moral behavior, death, and despair. And all these events have seen the left their mark on the hotel very walls, causing many to claim that the hotel is haunted. Residents and visitors of the hotel have claimed to see the ghost of Sid Vicious close the first-floor elevator, and there have been some cases where ghosts have been reported paranormal activity in or around room 100. These include large temperature fluctuations, orbs, and some have reported hearing loud music coming from 100, and others have heard raised voices and the sound of a couple arguing, but just go to see that the room was empty.
Terrifying.
Sightings of Tom Wolfe's ghost has been reported on the 8th floor in room 206. A guest woke early in the morning to see the ghostly face of Dylan Thomas watching her from the end of her bed, and the face slowly dissipated after a few seconds. Other guests have complained of hearing loud footsteps pacing the corridor outside the room of an investigation where the corridor is always empty. In room 124, the ghost of an unknown man has been seen around the bathroom, and probably in the most recent report, there is a woman, her sister, and their mother reported problem with the lighting. This was right before the hotel closed. The lights in our bathroom and hallway went off and on over and over while we were there. Later adding that they heard a loud, high-pitched woman scream, a sink that kept turning on and off, and strange bubbles rising from the drain. After a seemingly normal picture of a closet in the hotel room, there appeared to be a sort of skeleton peeking out from the behind the door frame in its top photo, where the top right corner of the photo came in the light. And even in the Star Lounge, which was the hotel's bar in the basement, seen paranormal activities such as power cuts, lights being switched on and off, and objects being moved around, and lots of stories of furniture being moved around as well throughout the entire hotel.
And how can you prove that to be false and fake? I mean, furniture was moved around, Bob. How did it move around?
It, on its own, too. And yeah, even construction workers now that are in there doing renovations have said that their equipment has been moved around as well.
What do you call it? A poltergeist, in a way.
It's definitely strange. You got to think there's a lot of energy that has entered that hotel. People working, when you're doing something creative, you're putting your heart and soul into something. It's almost as if you're leaving behind a giant energy footprint of your own to be left out to kind of be picked up on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating that that's the end result. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's for sure. I mean,
yeah, the Sid and Nancy story, I didn't want to talk about too much, but there is the sightings of Sid and Nancy's ghost around the hotel. I mean, do I buy into the concept of it? Maybe Nancy's because she did lose her life at the hotel. Sid did not. But is it possible that his spirit still kind of roams around? Maybe. But Nancy's would make sense why her spirit would still be hanging around the Chelsea Hotel.
Some unfinished business, you think, Bob? I mean, they perhaps say that those that have maybe a tough life or rocky relationship, and they certainly had both of those, come back to kind of haunt these, the earth, you could say. It's not too far-fetched that they would be haunting that hotel, especially with the lives that they had. So I believe it, Bob. I believe it's them.
Yeah. But you just want to see Larry the Hipster Ghost.
Larry the Hipster Ghost seems like a very friendly ghost. Even more friendly than, say, Casper the Friendly Ghost. So, yes, Larry the Hipster Ghost, definitely, if I were to get put into the path of one ghost, would be Larry.
And shout-outs to the Chelsea Hotel blog and Book Riot and some of the other various websites, the Only in Your State New York edition, and, like, the New York Paranormal Society. A lot of these people have a lot of these cases, you know, written out, and they got photos up on their websites and blogs, so they made the concept of us doing this episode really easy. There's a lot of good stories about the Chelsea Hotel itself. It was kind of a beacon for artists to go and do their craft, and unfortunately met a lot of their timely ends there as well.
Yeah, well, that's the sad part about some of these ghost stories. You hear about the rocky lives they had. That's probably why they're drifting the earth here, Bob.
So. Yes. So, any closing words?
Bob, it's been great to be... about the hotel. Yeah. Again, it'd be a place to look into. And I mean, I've never been to New York, but if I'm there, I'll check out the hotel and get some 99-cent pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You gotta find it when it's opened up because it's still under renovations now.
How long is that expected again?
It's been going on since I started going there several years ago. It's a beautiful building, though, to see outdoors. Okay. I got to see it a couple times.
Yeah. Well, ghosts are still in there, Bob.
Yes. I forgot to mention something at the beginning of the show.
What's
by
that?
The way, but I just wanted you to have your closing words.
Sure.
By the way, so there's a movie out right now.
Ghostbusters.
No.
Oh.
this is a side note, but outside the Hotel Chelsea. It's the Small Town Monsters, the cryptid documentary film company. They just put out a film called In the Trail of the Lake Michigan Mothman, which is like the greater Chicago area Mothman sightings.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, you've seen Mothman here before.
And I may make an appearance in the documentary.
Bob, you're in the documentary?
I am in the documentary, yes.
Talking about your sightings?
Yes, I'm talking a little bit about the Lake Michigan Mothman cases in general. Me and our late night caller, Jack, both make an appearance in the film.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, so Jack and I are both in the film.
And this movie just came out?
Yes, it came out today as of this recording. We're going to get the producer and researcher Heather and Seth on. We're going to get them either on next week's episode or the following week. It's available right now on like Google Play, Apple iTunes, Prime Video, Vundu. So it's available now. We're going to get on that to talk a little bit about it. But the Small Town Monsters documentary groups is great. They do a lot of great stuff. And it's pretty cool that, like, I'm a part of, Small Town Monsters.
That's fantastic, Bob. And again, I got to see this documentary, even just to hear your stories once again. I know you're big into Mothman. You have seen Mothman here in the Chicagoland area. So it'll be interesting to get your take in that documentary. I'm sure it's fantastic. Got to check that out. Hopefully they could agree to come on the show here.
Yes. So we're going to get them on the show. That'll be good. We'll talk a little bit about them. And folks, I apologize. My first episode back, my voice kind of crashed halfway through.
That copper water is not
I'm telling you, man, that water screwed my voice up even more.
Lawsuit coming down.
You might want to put a sign on that.
I'll put a sign.
All right, folks, then do you have any closing words? This is just closing words in general.
Bob, great to be back once again. If you're walking around C2E2 this weekend in Chicago, come say hi to us. We'll be out there.
Yes, yeah. We're going to go see Jim Cummings, voice of Darkwing Duck. That's my big person I want to meet.
Who else was he? He's voice of a lot of people. Winnie the Pooh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my big one.
He's going to be there?
Yeah, I'm getting him.
You could meet Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, well, he also sung the Extreme Ghostbusters theme song.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but he was, you know.
So when you go see somebody like that, you got to have him sign something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to have him sign my proton back.
Okay. Yeah. But there's so many different characters. You got to bring like one for each character.
Yep.
Winnie the Pooh. Wow.
All right.
Amazing.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.